Well, it is a big place out there, and we're more convinced than ever, having been there just so briefly. And yet we are excited with the possibilities. We also feel very much, as we're putting into a letter now, when Caleb and Joshua went with the other 10 spies and came back with a report that they had seen the land and they had seen the people and they had seen the cities. And he said, and we as were as grasshoppers in their sight. And we feel very much that way. We do not go in our own strength or on our own merit. And we do appreciate Jim's kind words. But at the same time, we're pretty certain of our own inabilities and ineffectiveness in many areas. But just to give you a brief word and to answer some of the questions that have been asked about, did we feel at home? Very much. In fact, if I could only have everybody here over there and have us all together, then that would solve it all, because you know my problem of leaving people and getting teary on the subject. I think I'm over the hurdle, but I've had some struggles. But to leave the dear, dear ones here, many of you, in fact, I wish we could go around the table and just everybody get acquainted tonight, because I know practically every woman in the room. And it's wonderful to see you sitting beside these handsome men and, you know, getting acquainted with your husbands. Some of them we already know. But we as women through the years have had such a tremendous bond of fellowship and oneness that it's not easy to leave. But the way we go is that we believe you're going to be praying for us and standing with us, and that this will be a part of your ministry as well as for us there. We don't have an absolute place signed up. I've been explaining it's kind of a domino effect. We think we have a place to live, but the people who are in it now have to find a job and find another house and so forth. And when all that happens, then we think we have a place to live, which is not London proper. It's out in Surrey, which is southwest, 40 minutes by train and that sort of thing. But we believe this is what God has for us. It needs some fixing up. And when I thought, I was just telling Ethel White, who is, many of you know, a very outstanding interior decorator here, and I said, oh, Ethel, what a challenge you'd have in this house over there. So we're thanking God for that, and we do believe there's some things ahead along that line. But just to give you a little bit of the insight of the privileges that we'll have, one of the opportunities I had was to fill in for an evangelistic Bible for a coffee for some girls who are there in training, and most of them nurses in training from different countries. The girl, the NAV staff wife, who was going to speak to them that night, was with her husband invited to a dinner that the Wives of Parliament have set up. There's some Christian women in the Parliament who are getting together for Bible study, and Dottie Anderson is having some time with them. So she and her husband were invited to a dinner. So on the last minute, I was able to just step into her slot and meet with these young girls. And there were 27 of them there in this little apartment. And of the 27, one was from Soweto, which is down, you know, by South Africa. One from Rhodesia, one from Nigeria. And the other girl, I'm not exactly sure, another black girl. One was from Malaysia and one from Guyana. And the little girl from Guyana came up later. And she was so warm and outgoing. And I was just felt sure she must be a believer. But she kept saying to me, you remind me so much of my mother. You're just so much like my mother. And then I discovered that the little girl was Hindu. She was not a believer at all. But the fact that she was there, as were several of the others who were not Christians. And yet when you think of some of these girls who leave different parts of the world and come to London for training or for some sort of education and may not see their families for 5 or 6 years, and so I have the vision of just mothering all of you girls and being available when they are in need, but just hopefully to being able to encourage the girls. We have several staff girls who work directly with them, but to be a part of that. There are many opportunities. We can't begin to describe all that will be there, but we do believe God is sending us. There's a very strong affirmation that this is of God. One of the things that we keep saying, that it really is not bad to get old. Now, you all think I'm twisting in the dark, but I'm not. There are a lot of things that you can do when you're older that you can't do when you're younger. And sitting on planes. You know, I can talk to anybody at any age, and they don't ever think I'm being flirtatious at my age. In fact, this is not the time or place to tell you about it, but I did sit beside a man who is heading up a new magazine in Africa. Do I dare tell this to him? It is far worse than Playboy. I don't read Playboy ordinarily. But this, he wanted to share some copies with me. So he gave me these four copies of his new magazine. And I sat there looking. and I was going to give back to him, and he didn't want them. Oh, keep them. Well, once I got them, I didn't know what to do with them. I couldn't put them in the wastebasket where I was at the Assemblies of God place when we went down to Ghana. But you know, this man's on my heart, and as I talked to him, I was praying like mad that God would give me wisdom to what to say to him. And I didn't say all that much, but I did say, I don't know, I said, I know this magazine is not for me, but what I want to say is not because I'm a white woman or an American, but as a child of God, just to give you some different kind of an input, and to say that the pen is mightier than the sword, and you have a tremendous responsibility with what you're going to be publishing. I said, I'd like to write to you, and he said, I hope you will. So that's one thing that's high on my prayer list, what to say to this black man who's so eager to have this magazine go. And yet, I do believe God had me sitting beside him, and this is the thing that I want to be faithful to follow through. But the more I traveled, the more I became aware of the bigness of our world and the paths as we cross so many different people. And to be a faithful child of God and just letting people know that God loves them all around the world, whether they're successful English businessmen who are traveling or a French interior decorator that I met, all these different people, what they need to know is that Jesus Christ loves them and that life is not worth living apart from him. And this is our desire, is to go to be used of him in whatever way he would use us. We did get down to Ghana, and Jim's already warned me, don't get strung out on my air travels. I have just sort of summing all up to say that I believe if the airlines knew I was going to be flying, they would say, please, Mrs. Downing, don't. We had more problems. Every single flight I was on, something went wrong one way or another. But I was 2 days late getting into Ghana, so my trip was shortened there. But when you see the dear staff people are there, and not only the staff people, but the ones with whom they are laboring, and you realize the terrible conditions in which they're living, the economic paralysis of their country. Right now, bread is $4 a loaf in Ghana, eggs $4 a dozen if you can get them, and almost nothing to buy. The people just simply cannot buy. The things are just out of their reach. Our people have planned ahead, and food has been sent in, so they're not without food, but neither do they have fresh things. And when they're cut off so from communications, they're not steady or sure, and there are lots of things that go on for them there. So the things that Jim was saying earlier, what a joy it was to go and just spend time with those dear girls there, those families, and darling little children. Again, this is going to be another one of my ministries of old age, is my grandmother image has just gotten bigger, bigger, bigger. But down there with them, I'm grandmother number 3 or grandmother number 4 or however many grandmothers they have. But there's such an opportunity to be able to share with them. And just as we wind up here, the week after Lauren had called Jim from Germany to ask if we would consider the fact that the staff over there wanted to invite us, I wrote in the margin of my Bible from the familiar passage of Isaiah 58, 10 through 12. And if you give yourself to the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then your light will rise in the darkness and your gloom will become like midday. And the Lord will continually guide you and satisfy your desire in scorched places and give strength to your bones, those old bones that keep moving. And you will be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters fail not. And those from among you will rebuild the ancient ruins, and you will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the streets in which they dwell. There's some old cities in Europe, but the Christian heritage and the men who founded many of those wonderful buildings have long passed off the scene, and the message is not that effective anymore, so that there has to be a rebuilding of the effectiveness of the message of Jesus Christ to the people of Europe. And our team is there to do that, but they really need the encouragement and the prayer help of many of you. And we hope that we can be a channel of passing on to you the needs that they have there, that you'd pray not just for us. We are selfish. We hate to admit it, but we do want your prayers, but the others who need your prayers along with what we'll be doing. I'd like to share something that some of you have, our leaders, and many of our leaders from Bible study will recognize this, but this comes to mean so much to me, and I want to share it with you because God is making this real in my life. It isn't easy to pull up the stakes here, 21 years, 16 years in one house, leaving our children and our grandchildren behind, but we're so confident that God is leading us out. But with it, the assurance that this song that we sing in Bible study, "A little sanctuary art thou to me." This comes from Ezekiel 11:16, this phrase, "a little sanctuary." O Jesus, best beloved, I live with thee. My heart has found its everlasting home, its sure abiding place where'er I roam. A little sanctuary art thou to me, no fable shrine, but deep reality. Thou saidst it should be, so when at thy call I rose and followed gladly, leaving all. A little sanctuary art thou to me, all joyfully I pitch my tent with thee. Or ready still to journey at thy word, in thee I live and move, O blessed Lord. A little sanctuary art thou to me, I always am at home on land or sea. Alone, yet never lonely, now I prove the hundredfold Lord Jesus in thy love.
Thank you, Marina. Now, before Jim comes up, let me introduce my boss to you. Not only my boss, but my buddy, George Sanchez, and I are working together in the Navigator Staff Counseling Department. And George just has a voice that really brings glory to God as he sings, and he's going to come up and minister to us, and his wife, Florine, will be accompanying him at the piano. So, George, come and sing, and then when you're through, Jim, you come up.
Thanks, Jim. Thank you. Someone asked me a while ago, "Can you eat and then sing?" And it reminded me of a story I heard about a man who was a minister, or he really wasn't. He was trying. He was going to a church, and he was there as a candidate. They were looking for a pastor. So he went to one of the homes for dinner before church, and they served this beautiful meal, but he didn't eat any of it. And they said, "Well, aren't you going to eat something?" He says, "Oh no, no, no. I never eat before I preach." So they went to church, and he got up and preached. And later, he was back in this home again, and the old gentleman came up to him and he said, "Son, you might as well have asked." So I figure I might as well have asked. Doesn't change the tone one bit. If it's there, it's there, and if it's not, it's not. You know, there's a beautiful verse in Isaiah 61. It talks about the Lord Jesus. It's a prophetic verse. It says what Jesus was going to do when he came. And it says that he was to come and bring good tidings to the afflicted, to set captives free, to bind up broken hearts, and to open the eyes of the understanding of those who were blind to spiritual truth. And that's what Jesus did. Last week, we had the privilege of visiting with a young couple. Several years ago, we had the privilege of helping this young couple come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we've watched God work in their lives as they've grown and become involved in the lives of other people as well. We've watched God bless their business. And today, God is using them in such unique ways in touching lives for the glory of Jesus Christ. Such a privilege to watch. And the song that I'd like to share with you right now is one that sort of reflects what we see when we see this young couple and many others, as well as ourselves. And that is that when Jesus comes and affects a life, he takes something that may not be all that attractive, and out of it, he makes something beautiful. Something beautiful, something good, all my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was brokenness and strife. But he makes something beautiful of my life. If there ever were dreams that were lofty and noble, they were my dreams at the start. And the hopes for life's best were the hopes that I harbored down deep in my heart. But my dreams turned to ashes, my castles all crumbled, my fortune turned to dust. So I wrapped it all in the rags of my life and laid it at the cross. Something beautiful, something good. Understood. All I had to offer him was my brokenness, my strife, but he made something beautiful of
I certainly do appreciate you folks coming out this evening. And I'm not going to be talking too much about what I expect to be doing, because Lauren Sanney is going to be here in just a few minutes. and I'm going to take careful notes to find out what I'm expected to be doing, so I'm not going to take a chance. But you will know by the end of the meeting what he expects us to do. But I do want to give a personal word, and I think I should say at this point that in the trip that we just made, that Marina and I did not travel together except for Ghana back home. I went over ahead of her, so some of these experiences that she's had while riding on a plane, I did not share in. Although I did help her dispose of the magazines that she brought. I have a very favorite passage of Scripture, although I'm sure I'm like the person I heard about when asked what was his favorite portion of Scripture. He said the part that I read last. But in Luke 14, there's a very interesting account that Christ gave of a king with 10,000 troops who was about to be attacked by another king with 20,000 troops. Christ does not identify who the king is with the 10,000 or the king with the 20,000, but I believe that the king with the 10,000, he's speaking of himself, and the one with the larger army is the enemy. And he talked about just one option that the king with the 10,000 had, and that was to seek conditions of peace. In other words, to surrender. Now, the king with the 10,000 did have other options, one of which was a suicide attack, and another would be to retreat. But still another option that I believe is the main message of this passage, and that is to unveil a secret weapon, the word that he would easily win with only 10,000 against the larger number. And I think in this passage he's describing what those secret kind of people are that will make him victorious. And so he said in verse 26, they're the kind of followers who love me more than family. The kind of followers who love me more than their career. And the kind of followers who love me more than things. Now, I've preached this to other people many, many times. And did not believe at our advancing age that we would ever be challenged to see whether or not we were willing to put our feet where our words were. I've asked a lot of other people, yes, you need to love him more than family, more than career, and more than things. So as Marina mentioned, we are six of our seven children live here in Colorado Springs, our two grandchildren, and we're going to leave them and move overseas. I've had a very satisfying experience these 21 and a half years here at headquarters working with Lorne. The first major career change that I made after becoming a Christian is when I felt the Lord wanted me to remain in the military service as a witness. So I stayed in the military service for 24 years and a little more. And then one day it was just as clear to me that the Lord wanted me to leave the security of the military service. And so I did, came here to Colorado Springs in 1956. And now I'll be 65 next month. And instead of going to the golf course or the warm climate, we're about to make another career change and move overseas in this very exciting challenge. As far as things are concerned, I left the security of my own family, joined the Navy, was on the payroll of the Navy for some 24 years, pretty secure place, and then on the headquarters salary here for another 21 and a half. So it's an exciting challenge to join. The many missionaries I know and the navigators and out that have an opportunity to show that we love him more than things. I think my attitude toward fundraising is about the same as it is about personal evangelism. And I feel there's a parallel. It's hard to get a conversation started. But we're doing the other person a tremendous favor when we present the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when we invite a person to be a co-laborer in a ministry, if God is leading them to respond, we know that next to their own salvation, he's going to bless this kind of obedience. But I think we have been less concerned about this than any other part of the challenge of this move. And I remember a pastor friend of mine once who said, there's not very many people coming to Christ in our church. I wonder what the problem is. Now, his theology wasn't what he said, but it had a point to it. He said, I think that we're not getting those who are ordained to salvation into the church. So if we can just get some more people that are ordained to be saved in the church, well, we're going to have more success. Well, we know that God has already ordained how we're going to be supported. And so we're not concerned about it. That goes right along with the call. Now, in this passage in Scripture, Christ said, with these kind of people that love him more than family, more than career, more than things, that he's going to be a winner. There's going to be some victories. So we believe because that he's called us and we've been privileged to accept the challenge that there's going to be some battles and some victories won that wouldn't be won except that we were involved. We appreciate very much, as I said, your coming out tonight. I know many of you folks secondhand from having heard my wife talk so much about you. And I know how much that you have meant to her through the years. So thank you for coming, and thank you for your continued interest and prayers in what the Lord's going to give us the privilege of doing.
Jim, there's probably no one in the Navigators who knows Jim Downing better than Lauren Sanney. For the last 21 and a half years, as Jim said, Jim has been an assistant, a vice president in the Navigators, and an assistant to Lauren Sanney. Whenever Lauren goes out of the country on a trip, Jim has been the deputy president. And so we thought tonight that it would just be a tremendous opportunity for Lauren to come and express his appreciation for Jim's personal ministry to the Navigators, and then to tell us, as Jim said, more specifically what Jim and Marina will be doing. So Lauren, come up and give us that word, and then give us a word from the Word.
I think it'd be nice if you all stood for a moment. And if you gentlemen would like to remove your coat, you're certainly welcome to do so. Thank you. You may be seated. This is obviously a unique occasion. I don't remember very many times when I have participated in a meeting where we sent grandparents off on their first term as missionaries. But I must say, we are talking about some unique grandparents tonight. As has been told several times, my job is to tell you what they're going to do and why. Now, this afternoon, I checked a book or two in my library to see if I had a story to tell that might be fitting, and I didn't find any. But I thought there was one rather cute little story about a grandmother. And being married to myself, of course, to a grandmother, and looking around the house and finding we have more dolls, trucks, big wheels, and so on now than we had when we had our own children, I thought this was a rather cute story that a grandmother discovered that her granddaughter was very interested in penguins. So being a very, I would say, a typical grandmother, she went all around town to find the best book with the best pictures and the most information on penguins. So she bought this book, and I suppose it cost some little considerable sum, gave it to her granddaughter, who a day or two later thanked her for it and said, I thank you very much for that book. It told me a lot more than I wanted to know about penguins. Now, I thought I could twist a little application of that to my talk, that I must not tell you more than you wanted to know about what they're going to do. But why would a couple in their mid-60s, now delightfully gray, Jim coming up to retirement age, why would they want time to ease off and, as Jim said, to play golf? And, however, that would be new for him, because I don't think he plays golf. Well, with roots in Colorado Springs, a fine family of 7 children, most of whom are married, grandchildren coming along, and both of them very effective personal ministries, why pull up stakes and go out and raise some money and go off to the mission field at this time of life. So what are they going to do and why? Well, as I reflected on this, I could really tell it to you very simply. It is summed up in just one verse of Scripture with which many of you are familiar. When Jesus looked at his disciples, as recorded in John chapter 15, and he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, that your fruit should remain." What are they going to do? Bring forth fruit. Why are they going to do it? Because Jesus said, "I have chosen you to do it." He said so. It's really just about that simple. And just for a moment or two, I'll simply amplify the what and the why. To bring forth fruit. How are they going to do that? Well, by stimulating the endless repetition of a process. Let me tell a little story to explain what I mean by that. In the early 30s, a young man was converted, a young man by the name of Dawson Trotman, who later founded the work now known as the Navigators. This young man, one of his first ministry assignments was a junior high Sunday school class of 6 boys. And that apparently had driven off the 2 previous teachers. And Doss Trotman did what he did, I found out, that was became a habit of his. He got off in the hills there near Southern California, near San Pedro, and prayed. Said, "Lord, you made little boys. You know how they're wired up. Would you give me some ideas as to how I could reach these boys with your truth?" And God gave him some ideas. And starting with those 6 boys, a lot more began to come. In fact, the Sunday school class was too short, and they asked if they couldn't meet in his home on evenings. So they began to do this, which began a boys' club. And over just a couple of years' time, several hundred boys came to know the Lord, beginning with those 6. Well, in the meantime, a sailor had gone into the Navy with the idea of going into seminary when he got out, and saving up enough money. But while in the Navy, he got away from his objective, And in Southern California, there was a lady who was praying for this sailor. And she thought as she prayed how good it would be if some young man could contact him and talk to him and maybe get him back on the track. So she heard of Dawson Trotman and this successful work with the junior high boys, and she asked Dawson to contact this sailor, the sailor by the name of Lester Spencer. So he did. And the upshot of it was that as they began to talk, and they went out in the car and parked outside of on a hill there outside of San Pedro, California, that a policeman walked up to the window and asked where the liquor was. This was in days of Prohibition. And they held up a Bible. Policeman blinked, looked at the Bible, back at the sailor, and back to the Bible, and began to ask questions. And about an hour later, that policeman knelt down and received Christ as his Savior. Well, on the way back to the Navy landing, that young sailor, of course, seeing this, that revived him and his goals, and more than any kind of a little talk could have done. And he said, now that is what I'd like to be able to do. And so Doris began to help this young sailor. He came over to his home a night or two a week. And that went on for about 3 months. And one night this first sailor had another one in tow. And he said something to the effect of, like this to Doris Trotman. He said, would you help him like you helped me? To which Dawson said, no, I won't. He said, you won't? He said, well, why not? Well, he said, I've got all these boys to help. I want you to help him. So now you get in the next room and get started. So sailor number one helped sailor number two. Well, by and by, when sailor number two got sailor number three interested and brought him back to number one and said, would you help him like you helped me? What do you suppose he was told? Oh, no, don't park your baby on my doorstep. You help him. And so it began to multiply. And there happened by accident, which later we found out is a verse of Scripture over in 2 Timothy, where Paul said to Timothy, the things that you've heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Paul to Timothy, to faithful men, to others also. Doss Trotman to Les Spencer, to Gurney Harris, to the third sailor, to a next one, to a next one. And then along about 7 or 8 in there, a fellow on that same ship, the USS West Virginia, came to know Christ by the name of Jim Downey. Now, I don't know how many men came to know the Lord on that ship. Maybe Jim knows. And I've heard that probably a couple dozen of them went into the Lord's work full time. Missionaries, and I could tell you more about them. But what are they going to do? They simply want to stimulate the endless repetition of the process that happened on the USS West Virginia way back in the early 1930s. Same thing. To repeat the process of winning people to Christ, building them up in the faith to the place where they in turn can do the same with somebody else. However, they don't have to start from scratch. The Navigator work is now in about 34 countries officially, in the 7 or 8 countries where we're not supposed to be really. And we'd have 4 divisions, and one of those is what we call EMA, E-M-A, Europe, Middle East, and Africa. There are 252 on the staff there in that particular division, 76 of whom are Americans, and 176 of whom are non-Americans. They serve in 18 countries, 13 of them officially, and 5 non-official, most of whom are Eastern Europe countries. Well, what are they going to do? Well, primarily, number one will be develop some coming leadership. And it's really an exciting thing. We've got some keen young men coming along. And in a couple instances, we've got one fellow, the Flying Dutchman, Gerrit Donneval. Some of these names, Horst Gunsel, Nabil Zabur, the Arabs and Africans and Europeans. But Jim's job will be to train up a divisional director. And he's already been picked, but it's going to take about 3 years. And to work him into the job. And also, of course, to maintain a plan B. So it'll be to develop coming leadership for the future in that division. But in the meantime, that Jim and Marina might bring to bear their spiritual maturity and experience on an eager young staff. Not only the 276 or 52 that I just mentioned to you, but a lot more of them that are coming up behind. Last fall, Lucy and I had the privilege of being in Nairobi. And there we sat in some ways living in a room about 35 young Africans who are just are the key people in our ministry out there, not on our staff, maybe except one or two. But we had a question and answer time, and I talked with those young people, and I'll tell you, they are as sharp and as keen and as capable in the ministry as any navigators anywhere in the world. They are the foundations of many generations are there. And we feel that, and that can be duplicated in a lot of countries I could tell you about, that the experience, the maturity, and the roots in the navigator work that Jim and Marina have will be absolutely invaluable to those young people coming up in those works in these various countries. So that is part of their job. And of course, they are eminently qualified, as those of you who know them, they're eminently qualified, as you know, to fulfill that responsibility. And then, of course, the third thing is to provide stability as new leadership comes up in that work over there. I've been going back and forth to Europe for about 20 years, and except this eased up a little bit the last year. But I think in the 2 years previous to that, I've seen more pessimism among Europeans, at least as reflected by our Europeans, than all the time I put together. Eurocommunism, etc., the terrorism, and so on. And then, of course, there are quite a few difficulties in ministering in Eastern Europe, and we have staff who spend about half their time ministering in various countries in Eastern Europe. And then there's the staff in the Middle East, and that is an exceedingly hazardous situation. To me, that'd be the most difficult place in the world to work, because nobody knows what the rules are. At least if you're in a communist country, you kind of know what the rules are. But you don't know who's on whose side when in that part of the world. And we do have ministries with staff people in Lebanon and Jordan and in Egypt. Then, of course, the ministry in Black Africa, which is frustrating with its turmoil and all the rest. Just a few years ago, we had the distinction of being placed on Idi Amin's blacklist and kicked out of that particular country. However, we have found, and I think in the kind of a world in which we live, we're going to have to learn better how to work with and around any kind of a situation. The walls in this world seem to be raising instead of diminishing, whether they are linguistic, or whether they're national, or whether they're ethnic. So our staff needs a stabilizing influence of dad and mom in that part of the world. And that is a tremendous encouragement to them. So what are they going to do? Well, they're going to go and bring forth fruit, like Jesus said, directly and indirectly through that staff over there, to the glory of Jesus Christ and to the furthering of his kingdom. That's the what. Well, why? Well, as I said earlier, just because Jesus said so. I mean, you don't need more than that, really. I mean, if he said so, you do it, right? And he said he chose them. And in this particular situation with Jim and Marina going to take over that division, in the 22 years I've been president of the Navigators and involved in a lot of personnel decisions, I have never seen one received with more enthusiasm on part of the staff around the world than the thought of their going over to take that responsibility. They are really excited. I have, for instance, one of them say, "No, man, I never thought we'd have it that good." So that is exciting, too. Well, why at this age? Well, Psalm 92:14 answers that. It says they still bring forth fruit in old age. They are ever full of sap and green. And I think you can say that about Jim and Marina. They'll still bring forth fruit in old age. They'll always be full of sap and green. 37 years ago, when I came to work with Dawson Trotman, I heard him tell about a sailor by the name of Jim Downey, a key man in the navigator work at that time, and what kind of a man he was and the fruitfulness of his life I had not met yet. I also very distinctly remember one day Doss saying that he thought the outstanding woman student at the Bible Institute of L.A. that they'd ever had was a girl named Marina Holmes, who later became Marina Downey. So way since then, 24 years in the military being fruitful, 21 years here at headquarters, now in the mission field, I say, why stop now? Why not? And some would say, well, why go overseas? Well, why not? And the illustration's been brought out, and it's true. If you see, you know, six men trying to carry a log, and there are five on one end and one on the other, which side are you going to help? And I'll tell you, we forget that we are absolutely loaded with resources here in this country in which we live. And they are seemingly destitute of resources in most parts of the world when it comes to really knowing Christ. And we in the Navigators count it a privilege that we could share and back and pray for resources like Jim and Marina, with their years of experience, their dedication to Christ, and their maturity and their commitment, and share them with other needy parts of the world. What are they going to do and why? Well, they're going to bear fruit. Why? Not because the Navigator sent them. As far as I know, I have never sent anybody anywhere in my whole life, and if I did, I'd take it back. You don't send people to the mission field. The Lord of the harvest does that. Jesus sends them, and he'll take care of them. So I hope that you, as with us, will back them with your prayer and with your support. They're going to bring forth fruit, and they're going to be ever full of sap and green. Did I get hooked up? I didn't. Yeah, I did. Thank you, Jim. Thank you. I didn't have this here.
Thank you, Lauren. I want to talk to you just very briefly about Jim and Marina's financial needs. And we felt that you would want to know. We also want to say tonight that we don't want any of you, any one of you, to feel any pressure on this. We simply want to give you the information, and we want you to do what God wants you to do. On your table, the one who's married to you, you'll notice a little stack of cards. If you could just, someone pick those up and just pass them around. I'll just explain something very briefly to you, and then we'll dismiss. The reason I said I don't want anyone to feel pressure is because the scripture tells us that God loves a cheerful giver. That whatever you do, you're doing it because God wants you to. But on the other hand, most of you are here tonight because in some way God has brought your paths across the paths of the Downings, and we felt you would want to know. Sometimes people ask, well, how are Navigators supported? What kind of financial needs do they have? And we're a little different from a church in that we don't have a weekly meeting where we pass an offering plate for you to drop in whatever you feel you should do at that time. But each Navigator who goes out to an assignment, a ministry assignment, goes out on sort of a, what we call a faith ministry. In other words, there's nothing guaranteed to that person except what the friends and people who are interested in their ministry send in. And so on this little card at the top, you'll just notice it says, as the Lord makes it possible, I plan to invest in the ministry of Jim and Marina Downing. Now, Jim and Marina have two types of needs. First of all, they need some cash right away for their plane tickets, shipping of their goods over, just the getting settled in cost that all of us know we have when we move to a new place. And so some of you tonight may want to give a cash gift tonight, and if you do, over on the right-hand side in the top, there's just a place, cash gift enclosed. Some of you may want to give a cash gift toward this cash need. And in the middle slot there it says cash pledge, so you can indicate what you'd like to give sometime in the next few days. Because the Downings are leaving very soon, it would be helpful if this cash offering could be given as soon as possible. But the main need that Jim and Marina have is going to be for August, September, October. And this is the way all navigators are supported, just by many, many people giving $10, $15, $25, $50, $100 a month, whatever the Lord makes possible. And then once a month, Jim and Marina get a sheet from our headquarters in which the printout shows all the different people who have given to their ministry, and then it's on the basis of that they can plan their ministry for that month. So down in the very bottom slot, it just says monthly support, and the Lord makes it possible, this is what you would like to do on a monthly basis, or quarterly, if that's your style of giving. So we just thought you would like to have this. There's not a necessity for each couple to take two. You just have it for your hands right now to look at. But also, if any of you here know of someone who would be interested in the Downings ministry, you know that their lives have been touched by Jim and Marina, and they would be interested in giving, please feel free to just take one along. If tonight you want to make your decision, you could put the card back in the envelope and just leave it on the table. If you'd like to take it away, take it home and pray about it for a day or two or however long you feel you need, you feel free to do that. You can either make the decision tonight or later, and some of you may not be able to give it all, and that's just between you and the Lord. And we just wanted you to know what their needs are. We're going to have a dinner like this next Saturday night. There were a number who couldn't come tonight, but we wanted to tell you that if you knew of someone that you think would be interested in coming and hearing what you heard tonight, please, by all means, feel free to tell that person, and you or that person can call Jim and Marina and just let them know they'd like to come on Saturday night. So, as you just think of the things that we've shared just now, I'm going to ask George to come back up. And Lord, minister to us with another song, and then we'll have a word of prayer and commit you and me next to us.
I've had the privilege of traveling in many of the countries where Jim and Marina will be working. And it's a delightful thing to see the lives that have been changed as they have come into contact with Jesus Christ. And I'd like to sing about that again in this song that talks about the ministry of the Lord, even as he walked on this earth and involved himself in the lives of many people with needs, as he went about touching lives and changing them. Shackled by a heavy burden, meet the Lord of guilt and shame. Then the hand of Jesus touched me, and now I am no longer the same. He touched me, yes, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now highway begging, his eyes were blind, the life he could not see. He clutched his rag and shivered in the shadows. Then Jesus came and set the captive free. When Jesus comes, the tempter's power is broken. When Jesus comes, the night is turned to day. He takes the gloom and fills the light with glory. For all is changed when Jesus comes to stay. Since I met this blessed Savior, since he touched and made me whole, I will never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now
before we dismiss the Jim and Marina. But let me just clarify one point. Whether or not you left your card on the table tonight or will be sending it in the next few days, Jim and Marina want to write to those of you who want to have a part in the ministry. And a few days after they receive this, they'll write a letter to you expressing their thanks, but also just giving you some instructions as to how on the basis on which you want to give, you can do that to the navigators in case it's not clear to you, but it will. They'll send a letter with that information. So tonight we want to thank you for coming, and thank you for the encouragement that you've been giving just by your presence here and in whatever the Lord leads you to do. Shall we just bow in prayer as we pray for you? Father in heaven, as we're praying together right now, our minds and our hearts reflect back on Acts chapter 13, when it says, as Paul and Barnabas were ministering with the people in Antioch, the Holy Spirit said, separate me, these men, for the work whereto I have called. And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away. And it says, Lord, that they were sent forth by the Holy Spirit. And tonight is a fellowship of men and women who love Jim and Marina. We just want to commend them to you. We want to pray that your hand of blessing will be upon them in a very encouraging and mighty and powerful way. We thank you ahead of time for every need that you're going to meet in their lives. And we're going to thank you ahead of time and praise you, Lord, for the way you're going to use them to meet needs in the lives of other people. And Lord, all of us in this room in some way have been affected by their lives, and tonight we just want to say thank you for their ministry to us. We pray that as they go to England, that you will help them to get settled into the home of your choice. That just every crooked place they run into, you'll make it straight. And that every valley, every discouraging circumstance, that you would just move in by the power of your word and your spirit and just cause their heart to be rejoicing. We pray that there would be a voice behind them saying, this is the way, walk ye on. That they would know day by day and week by week where they should go and what they should do. And Lord, when we stop to think that we never go out alone, that you promise that you would go with us. And that it's not we who do it, but it's you doing it through us. We just pray that rivers of living water might flow out of Jim Marina's life for every life that we have. And we ask that 3 years from now, when they come back, whether it be permanently to stay with us or just for a brief visit to go back, whatever, Lord, however you could lead, we pray that our hearts may rejoice in the stories that we hear of what you have done since we met with you. So, Lord, we commit them to be in Christ's name. Amen. Okay. I guess we're dismissed. You can don't feel you have to rush off. If you see other friends here, why, we're having a good time in the break, so continue that if you'd like. Say goodbye to Jim and Marina, and then you're free to go.